Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic book shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian, and we are here to talk about Stranger Things.
That's not it.
It feels like I just queued up the show on Netflix.
The intro is very reminiscent of another 80s show I also love called Halt and Catch Fire. If you play both of them together,
I love that theme.
You probably could come up with a neat little club remix, I think. Yeah. So here we have BJ.
Hey, what's up?
Pat, who is micless, but he is there watching. He's in the sound booth. That's right. He is in the sound booth.
You're bad at this.
Oh, God. I'm bad at painting the picture of the mind. And then Jeff.
Hi, guys.
And then you heard Oral, you know.
Oh, bitch.
We have all seen Stranger Things in its entirety. Is that correct?
Yes. I watched it in two nights.
Oh, man.
We split it up. I mean, 8 episodes, though. It's pretty easy binge-watching, things considered.
And we did, 2 and then 4? No, 2 and then 2 and then 4. Yeah, the last 4 contiguous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because once you start down that path, you're like, oh.
Once people start going into the upside down, it's like, all right, game on.
Once people started comparing notes.
Yeah.
So let's do this. We are going to give a spoiler warning. We do intend to say things that you may not want to know if you haven't seen it. I think at the very beginning of this discussion, we should just confirm whether or not we liked it. Did we all like it?
Absolutely.
Yes, I loved it because of all that 80s nostalgia.
I enjoyed it, but actually not for the 80s nostalgia, for that delicious Lovecraft referencing and unknown and creatures and all that wonderfulness.
So let's
would always go for tentacles.
Tentacles.
Of course he would. So let's do an age check, and I don't have to be specific. Have to be specific. However, I believe Jeff and I are the older two.
Yeah. Correct? Yeah.
And then you two are slightly younger by maybe as much as 6 or more years.
I don't know how old you are, so I don't know if I should be angry about that.
So I'm 39. Jeff is 35.
2 past Jesus. That's what I like to say. 2 past Jesus.
Uh-huh. Oral, you're 20.
BJ, how old are you?
I'm 32.
You're 32? I'm the youngest at 28.
Got your whole life ahead of you, son of a bitch.
Baby. So that's a lie. I'm 30.
I wonder how much of that plays a role in terms of the appreciation for some of the things, because we, Jeff and I, pretty much grew up smack dab in the midst of all that. And you two came along kind of on the tail end.
I'm a cusp.
Yeah.
I'm a cusp.
But you enjoyed it after the fact.
Yeah.
All those movies and.
Yeah, I was exposed to all that stuff. So. Yeah.
And if we had somebody slightly younger, we had like a true to form millennial, they wouldn't get any of these references that the show was making.
But I think that's kind of what BJ is saying. I think he didn't at least appreciate as much of them, but you still really liked it.
Yeah. I still really liked it. I just, there's a lot of classic themes. From Lovecraft that I was like, you know what? I really like this. And then later on when I went to, there's a YouTube video that references all of the 80s nostalgia moments. They bring up like a little bullet point every time they
pop
mimic
up
the
videos.
So I appreciated it.
Right.
Eleven had the ET dress.
And the wig.
Is it the same wig?
The lace front fantasy?
Yes.
So, could somebody please explain to me what that means? Is lace front a kind of wig? Is that like a really nice kind of wig? I just don't get it.
You need more lace, girl. You need more lace. Yeah, a lace front is a very good wig.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the best wig, but it's a good wig.
So, the meme going around on Facebook for a little while there was this character in the show who looks like a young Furiosa. That's kind of
that
a
was
nice,
her. That was
way.
That's how they sold it to her to shave her head.
Right. She, like BJ said, kind of has to be hidden in plain sight. And so they put this wig they found in a box full of Halloween costumes, right? And it happened to be an amazing lace front fantasy. See, I just didn't get all the parts.
When he pulled it out of the box, I'm looking at it like, that thing looked ready as hell. And then, so the boys had to style it. So these little boys had to stand around her and style this thing so it at least didn't look like a wig.
And then when they pulled away, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, ooh, one of you is a homosexual. Which one? As someone who, like, my favorite retro genre is the 80s. Besides Downton Abbey and, like, the 1910s and 20s, it's the 80s. I love the music. I love the fashion. I love the movies, except whenever you see Ronald Reagan show up, because you know, bam, AIDS.
Or Nancy.
No, Nancy, crack.
God, Reagan, that's true,
yeah. Ronald, AIDS. And so a lot of this stuff that, you know, I experienced as a young child, you know, being like five, when I was five, it was what, 91? Yeah. So like we're still not really into the 90s. We still have a lot of holdover.
Very much late 80s holdover,
A lot of those shows were still on like public access, you know, television, stuff like that, like local stations. And so seeing all of that come together was really neat for me. I love the acting of the kids, and I don't necessarily like child actors. But I think everyone did a really good job of showing what, you know, boys who don't have any real exposure to girls besides like sisters and, you know, like friends, sisters, how they would react with this, like a girl on their level who's not on their level.
Yeah. Isn't dropped in their lap and they have to hide her and all that
stuff. Who has even less. So for those of you listening, just a quick kind of touch through Stranger Things, boy goes missing. There's a lab involved. His friends go looking for him. His mom kind of loses it. The mother's played by Winona Ryder. And she always knocks it out of the park.
She is having a resurgence. It is great. She was in that Show Me a Hero in a small but pivotal role, and fantastic. She's doing great.
Yeah, she was great. She was great as the mother barely holding it together.
Apparently, she drew inspiration from Meryl Streep in
Silkwood.
Silkwood,
yeah, that was good.
That Silkwood haircut.
Yep. The boy that goes missing, that's Mike Wheeler, and that's played by Finn Wolfhard. Which, funny story, he's been in The 100 and Supernatural on the CW as bit parts, but he's going to be one of the kids in the remake of It.
Ah, okay.
In the new It movie coming out next year.
They got a Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Bill. The one from the really bad Netflix horror show, Hemlock Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And then one of his friends, Dustin Henderson, that's one of the little boys, played by Gaten Matarazzo.
Who steals the show, as far as I'm concerned.
He's the little boy who's missing like his front teeth. Yeah.
He is toothless. And if you have a chance, go on and watch the YouTube video of him singing a selection from Les Mis, Bring Her Home. Bring Him Home? Bring Him Home. Oh, my God. And evidently, he was on Broadway, too. He is an actor who's been around. But he's amazing. He's really impressive, both in the show.
Just call that little boy a slut?
What?
What?
Oh, but he gets around. No, well, with the toothless
artistically
thing, I mean, he's very popular. No,
artistically,
that's
he gets
awful.
Around.
You are leading me down an awful path.
No, I made a slight joke, and you made it.
You opened the door, and I just kept going past it.
Yeah. Another one of the boys in the group, Lucas Sinclair, one of my favorites. That's played by Caleb McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
It looks McLaughlin. Is that McLaughlin?
McLaughlin.
Spelled Laughlin. McLaughlin. That's how it's spelled.
Aye, shay.
He plays Lucas, and I think I liked Lucas a little bit more than Dustin, because Lucas just had the best bitch face out of all of them. Like, why are y'all bringing this little white girl in here? Who doesn't know what Eggos are? The hell is wrong with her?
Eggos, which are the new Reese's Pieces.
Well, you know, I love his character, but he had to be the voice of reason because those boys had just gone off the rails. It's like,
we
should tell the adults.
Puberty hit him hard. Yeah, they were all like, girl, she's got powers. I want to do things with her. I don't even understand.
He's like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's lying. And at times, she really was lying. Yeah. And like he was the only one who had any sort of sense to him.
Yeah.
But they made him come off as this kind of like screechy, you know, Marge-esque character until he was vindicated. And then he saved the day.
Yeah.
Yep. I gotta backtrack. So Noah Schnapp is Will Byers. He's okay. The boy that goes missing.
I was gonna say Finn was the one who was the main
who was kind of like Eleven's
love interest.
Yeah.
Noah Schnapp, apparently he's barely done anything, but he played Charlie Brown in the recent Peanuts movie.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay, the CG one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw the Peanuts movie. He did a pretty good job, you know, channeling child with mild depression.
Mm. So the kids are great. The adults are, you know, interesting as well.
Well, we're forgetting about like the main antagonist, the head of the.
Well, hold on. I want to get to him last. Okay. If you can save him for, because he's got a special place in hell. I want to talk about
the teenagers.
That's Silver Fox.
Yeah. I don't even fucking care about the teenagers. Let's talk about the hot guys.
What?
So the hot guys in this were the cop and the chef.
Yeah. So you have the cop who's. Kind of like the town man slut. Town man slut / alcoholic.
Just because they implied he banged the librarian, you know.
Well, he didn't just bang the librarian. He woke up with somebody that wasn't the librarian at one point. So he's sleeping around.
Yeah, he gets around.
So at least the eye candy for me is David Harbour, who plays Chief Jim Hopper, who's done some pretty... He was in Suicide Squad.
Was he?
He was the guy essentially backing Waller... For the funding of Task Force X, the guy that was like, if Superman comes down,
he's always that guy. He's that guy.
He's been in. I mean, when I was looking him up, tenuous amounts of TV drama, Law and Order, SVU, all that stuff. He's done all that stuff. He was also in Brokeback Mountain.
He also gets around.
He's a working actor.
Yep.
He is. Quantum of Solace.
Yep.
End of Watch. The Equalizer. Banshee.
Like I say, it was in Black Mass. Remember Black Mass. Mm-hmm.
State of... I don't know what that is.
A character you kind of go in wanting to hate. Like,
because
like,
he seems like the schlub, the put upon.
You're going to be an asshole. And then he's still kind of an asshole, but at least when things get serious, he actually is like, ah, shit, this kid's actually missing.
He's kind of an ass kicker.
Yeah,
like legit. So I thought he was cool. And then we have a side character.
The cook. The hot little daddy bear.
Oh my god,
Chris Sullivan,
who God bless him. If you haven't watched the show, enjoy the scenes that he's in.
yeah,
doesn't last long.
I was like, you're too good. You're something terrible's gonna happen to you.
You know,
he's got less of a small but sturdy fan base than Barb.
So there are two characters in the show that I feel like don't really get a chance to blossom and shine, and they're kind of part of that early, let's show the stakes, so we're going to kill people off. Mm-hmm. It's him, and he's taken out by the secret conspiracy of the government, that badass one chick who I don't know who she was.
She got her head imploded, and that made me very happy.
Yeah. Mm. And then Barb. Okay, let's have a moment.
Barb is the teenage sister of... Finn?
No. Not a sister. Just a friend of the sister.
She's a friend of Nancy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the teen sister, that's her friend.
She's Nancy's best friend.
Who's trying to keep Nancy from going down a path of sluttiness.
Not really. She's...
So there's a conflicting theory online.
There are theories about Barb?
Oh, yeah. Barb has quite the following.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Oh, my God.
At one point, everybody's been Barb.
So, yes. And so she is either the closest best friend who is totally platonic, but is trying to, like, keep her friend from doing something she'll regret.
Or she's waiting for her to turn lesbian?
Yes.
Ah.
And I am not...
That haircut.
I do not know what their intent is. Obviously, there is nothing that they are putting in that would suggest.
Thank you.
But that's what people are saying.
Jeez. The Barb is played by Shannon Purser, who this is actually her first time acting. Yep. The writers and the director were like, they were very surprised at how well she did and everything.
This is Barb we're talking about?
Yep, yeah.
Barb. Oh, in real life, she's cute as hell.
Oh, yeah, she's adorable.
And actually, she wants to play Squirrel Girl, and I think
she'd be over Anna Kendrick.
Well, see, this is the thing. I think Anna Kendrick would be great, but Barb really could work.
Like, her picture, she looks like...
Yeah,
she looks like just like her.
She looks like Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under.
A little bit.
But More normal. A little more normal.
But I think the reason people like Barb so much is because every nerd has been to the party with their hot friend who they're like, all right, I'll give you a ride home. I'm just going to hang back for a minute. And they're like, no, you can just go on ahead home.
That's not what happened. And that bitch got dragged to this party where her friend was getting drunk and about to give it up to this douchebag who's so dreamy.
No.
Would you call it a party? No. There was like six of them. Five of them were going to participate in an orgy.
Is what that was.
Yep. Yeah.
But no, it was not. He is not attractive.
Steve?
He's 80s attractive.
I question.
What was Steve's last name? She kept saying Steve's full name. Steve something. I can't remember.
Harrington?
Steve Harrington.
No.
Steve something or other, you're ridiculous. You're incorrigible. Like, oh, shut the fuck up.
To punch Steve's little fucking face the whole time. I hated him so much. The River Phoenix character, which I don't remember his name, but basically could have been River Phoenix.
Willie Byers, older brother. Byers.
Yes, the older brother. Yeah. Seriously, River Phoenix, I felt for him the whole time.
A bit more strung
movie.
Out than River Phoenix, just saying something.
Seriously,
so yeah. Joe Keery... K-E-E-R-Y, plays Steve Harrington, who's the quote-unquote love interest slash like,
asshole boyfriend.
Bad asshole boyfriend.
Bully. With a heart of gold deep down.
Way deep.
Yeah. and he's been gold in a whole bunch of, like, he was in Chicago Fire, he was in Empire, Sirens.
So at least in one of those things, he's getting his ass kicked, and
See, here's the thing about it. The reason why I like Stranger Things is that we all know that we're on this sort of course about how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm. But I love the character interactions. Mm-hmm. That's what really drives it home. Because let's be real. Like, it's Pretty in Pink. Molly Ringwald does not end up with Ducky. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Right.
Even though one of the endings they shot, she did.
Oh, yeah.
But then they went with the test audiences changed that shit. Yeah.
John Hughes, like it. This whole thing is such an amalgam of John Hughes made a John Carpenter, right?
Yes,
movie John Carpenter with elements
written by
of...
Stephen King, with Steven Spielberg directing.
Like, yes,
and some Richard Donner thrown in with the Goonies team, little kid team.
It's such a mashup of stuff, and you're right. And I was talking about this at work about this how the plot is very pedestrian. Like it is. Nothing we have not seen before in other forms. It's really nothing new. But what makes it amazing are the characters.
Yeah.
And their interactions.
Which is
put together in a way that's not sticky.
Gives us the feels.
Sticky.
Trite. Well, the episode, going into a little bit of spoiler issues, when they supposedly find young Byers' body.
Oh, yeah.
The ending. And I was like, you don't know enough about the story, even though it looks pretty by the numbers. There was that moment from one episode to the next, like, shit, did they actually just kill him off?
Yeah, I wondered about that.
And it was like, well, you know.
Although the whole time I'm seeing that, I'm thinking that's Barb they just found, and because she had sort of some androgynous type thing, like that they just mistook her for him.
Oh, poor Barb.
Well, that's why I thought
her boobies didn't come in yet.
Barb.
And I'm like, how do you, and then they, you know, go into it in the next episode.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, you want to get the benefit of the doubt that they could pull some crazy stuff in this story.
They could have. I just don't think they really did.
No,
they
want to continue it on.
But I mean, even still, like that's why I think the plot is the least surprising. It unfolds the way you pretty much think it's going to.
Yeah,
and
with a dash of Akira. I'm sorry, I forgot.
The actress that played Nancy, by the way, is Natalie Dyer, who apparently was in the Hannah Montana movie.
Oh
boy,
that's where she got her start.
She's seen some shit.
I didn't really buy her badass turn at the end as much, but. I don't know.
But that's what happens in every quintessential 80s movie where, you know, there's like some monster or whatever. Someone has to rise to the occasion. Yeah.
Fright Night.
Fright
Night montage.
All three of them had to, which is what I really liked is that, you know, when faced with what's greater in the world, this is why I like Steve's character. You know, he realizes that he's been a dick. His friends are awful people. You know, he in a small town, he's branded this girl who he kind of really likes as a slut.
Right.
Yep.
Through no fault of her own. And so he really he goes to make amends. And then instead of like abandoning her, which he could have easily done,
right,
he runs back into the house.
Yeah, that was like, a surprise.
That's a hero's redemption.
The big redemption part is that he didn't get eaten by the monster.
Yes, I kept thinking, oh my god,
Demogorgon.
He's gonna get eaten.
And the upside down Demogorgon.
I also like the fact that he went back to like help scrape down the graffiti. He essentially let his 80s bad guy friends. Because every 80s movie has them. Like, this is our side of the mountain. You tell him, baby. Like,
put him in the body bag, Johnny.
Exactly. What's her name? Not Barb. Who's the sister again? What's her
Nancy.
Name? Nancy.
Nancy.
She reminded me of Labyrinth.
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly. Mm-hmm. Very much in certain like moments. And I thought, okay, I see this. This is what they're doing.
That is a problem that Stranger Things had. There was no Goblin King. There was no David Bowie.
Well, they did have a Goblin King, and he was terrible.
Oh, the petunia fae, or what kind of flower did that, I guess?
Lily head?
No!
What are you talking about?
No, because Jareth is a terrible person. Like, a terrible big.
Yeah, oh.
No, I'm talking about, like, the man with the glasses and, like, the head of the...
Matthew Modine.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
We needed to get to him. Because,
Private Joker? From Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I was like, Private
Doctor,
Dr.
Martin Brenner.
So what's interesting about his character is it's very much silent, creepy, quiet in the background for most of it. And then you get a little bit more of it. But they also didn't paint him. Like, they made him seem like kind of a manipulative asshole.
Oh, yeah.
But there is also possibility that he did care for Eleven in some way.
So much that he gave her the name Eleven out of what happened to 1 through 10.
The government came and stole my baby. The government came and stole my baby.
But I mean, they didn't paint it as one dimensional as they could have.
Right.
I felt like. But it's also the interesting thing of the creators have said that they didn't show him really dying. And so it is quite possible they could bring him back.
He could have been the Demogorgon just been like, I'm going to save you for later, and just tossed him in there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, they said, like, they did that, and they talked about Barb, and it's kind of like the Lost idea for the show Lost. If you ever saw a character on screen die, then you knew they died. If they quote-unquote died off-screen, they probably are not dead.
But Barb didn't, like...
No, they found her body.
They found her body, yeah. So, I mean, there's no bringing Barb back.
It was oozing...
As, like, a zombie.
She was a slug factory.
Yeah. It was oozing Demogorgon babies.
So, Matthew Modine as Dr. Martin Brenner. I think the thing that annoyed me most about him is what a terrible scientist he is. He's like, I'm gonna open this dimensional portal, and... Now I'm just going to poke at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not going to try to catch the monster. I'm just going to chill out and be like, oh, it took another one. And I'm like,
let's keep this door shut. Can we keep this door shut?
Right? That's very like cold scientific curiosity, recording results.
Very 80s bad guy scientist.
How much of the movie did you like flashback to Poltergeist? Because I have a very traumatic experience with Poltergeist.
Oh, with the lights in the house?
The lights in the house, the other dimensional aspect. The little girl going to the television or going to the wall, a la Carolyn going to TV.
The walls.
Stretching out.
Yeah.
Going into the other dimension with a tether, because I believe that also happened.
Yeah. Because they didn't show the guy.
The
but...
water, like, I think doesn't, in Poltergeist, the dad or whoever goes in, come out of, like, the bathtub or something. Like, all of this is through my hazy memory of Poltergeist, because I can't watch that movie.
You should watch it again.
Me out.
You
should. It freaks me out.
Ed O'Neill?
Special Halloween edition.
Is that the guy who played the dad, Ed O'Neill?
Is it?
Wait, no, that's the guy from Married with Children.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't know he was.
Like, no.
Who am I thinking of? The guy from Coach.
Oh, really?
He was the one who played the dad. Anyway, like that scene where he's like clawing his face off in the mirror, and then he's. Remember Poltergeist?
It's been like I said, it had a traumatic experience. Like I used to think the tree, the banyan behind our house back when we had it
was going to come to life, and
that I had a waking like nightmare where I saw it moving.
Man.
And that comes from Poltergeist.
I'm taking notes.
Oh my god,
this is great! Should never happen. I'm going to get you a full size clown doll and leave it in your room.
The clown thing never bothered me, but the closet. I had a huge thing about my closet too after that movie.
You had a closet, like an actual door closet.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't come to life.
I had the one with the freaking accordion doors.
And I had a Millennium Falcon that was like, I felt like it was flying. Anyway,
I can't wait for Halloween this year.
These are all my traumatic memories of Poltergeist. But the thing is, the show like found a way to bring all that back up into my
I did. Brain or something. When I was watching the show, I made sure to watch it with the lights off.
Yep.
Full black, you know, just the TV on.
And my roommates were gone, so everything was off. It was pitch black. The cats would run by and I'd be like, oh, little fuckers.
I think that's the only way to really truly experience Stranger Things in the dead of dead night.
So I think we've gone through all the the actors of note, other than our wonderful
Eleven herself.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Isn't she from Orlando? Didn't they find her in Orlando?
She's British, though. That's what was confusing to me.
I guess, but I thought they did like a casting thing from Orlando.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, she was. Well, so she's been in. She's done bit parts on NCIS, Modern Family, a series called apparently a horror thriller series called Intruders.
She can sing a mean Amy Winehouse. You go look up her on YouTube. Mm-hmm. She's good.
Grey's Anatomy and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. That little one-off season.
What is she playing that?
Young Alice.
Okay.
No, she's amazing, and I think I'm stealing this analysis from at least two other podcasts I've listened to about this show. But basically, the thing with her is she has very little to say, but all of her acting came from her expressions and the way she reacted to everything, and she was great. It was really very compelling character, and you care so much for her early on.
And damn it, don't you get in the way of her waffles.
Well,
she will fuck up your grocery store.
The Eggo thing is kind of a cute little, like I said, it was like the E.T. Reese's Pieces kind of thing.
And I hate E.T., so I hate it.
I'm not a fan either. I don't get the appeal.
I liked it.
It was all blown out of proportion.
It was cute.
But yeah, she's in some ways very much star of the show, the focal point of all the... I mean, she is the focal point in some ways, because Will, as much as they're trying to find him, isn't in much of the show.
No, like, he's not.
So
two episodes,
he's he's spiritually there.
Well, they do flashbacks where he shows up a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, it's motivationally, you're trying to find him, but she's the one who kind of is the whole mystery.
The bridge.
Guarantee he'll be a big feature in the next season.
Yeah, and really, ultimately, what it comes down to is that the thing that drives... each of like the individual groups are like strong women. Mm-hmm. You got Winona Ryder, who everyone thinks has lost her mind, but she stays to her convictions. You have Nancy, who realizes that she's been a ship friend and she has to kind of like, you know, rise to the occasion and rally. And she's the one, you know, who by herself goes to the Upside Down, mm-hmm. which couldn't have been me, ho.
Oh no.
Couldn't have been me.
I don't think she realized what she was doing.
A viscous portal.
In a tree stump or in a tree.
Yeah. Which is and closing then, as I'm trying to get out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then you have, you know, Eleven, who goes above and beyond to keep these ragamuffins safe. So so I thoroughly enjoy Stranger Things. I'm looking forward to season two.
What I also – there's two more things I want to mention. The opening and sort of the closing use of D&D as sort of a meta commentary but also sort of as a story setting thing. Excellent.
That was very well done.
Very enjoyable. I mean, it sets the stage very well.
I can tell you, if our mother had not been as strong-willed about our not playing D&D, if I had had an experience that I saw, like, in Stranger Things and actually playing D&D when I was that young, I might actually appreciate it nowadays.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat there. The other thing I will say is the soundtrack is amazing. It is very 80s-tastic, and it's specifically for the use of the music of the band Survive, or several people from that band. And three songs I will mention, at least three artists, they use Peter Gabriel's orchestral version of David Bowie's Heroes in a critical moment. It's amazing. They also play Moby's, it's If It Was Cold, I Want to Die. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's very, it sounds like an Annie Lennox song remixed by Moby.
I forget how old Moby is.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
And one more, very timely as Blade Runner 2's production is ramping up, Vangelis from his Oceanic album.
Yes,
I had to look up because it had been a while since I listened to it. Sea of Coral,
Sea of Coral.
Amazing, because I love him, which is why I'm obsessed with Echoes. Side note, listening to Echoes last night for 2 hours, reading a book on a Saturday night, and then when Echoes was over, Hearts in Space.
Oh man, you do realize that
you're turning into Brian.
I don't get to, and Jared too. I don't get to listen to enough of Echoes or Hearts of Space.
No,
and I every chance that I can. Oh my God,
I listen to it on the way to the club, a party. If I'm going to dinner, if I'm driving and I have friends in the car, they hate it because they're like, there are no vocals.
That's your party. That's your party. That's on your party playlist.
So familiar. I think I've been there before.
Every time I'd come over to his house, like, oh, I got Echoes playing.
You know, it's nice background. Anyway, so like when that came on, and I'm like, I know that. I didn't remember what it was. I had to go back and look it up. But the music overall is very atmospheric and very synth-tastic. So if you enjoy 80s wavy synth, and I know Cap, I'm sure if he hasn't already talked about it on Nerdy Show, he is right there with me. I mean, it's
even
it's
then great. The soundtrack. They, I don't know how much these 80s tracks cost, but they broke out a lot of classic 80s tracks for the the show.
They did. No, I'm sure the budget was crazy.
I like the song Between the Brothers. Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Yeah, Clash got a lot of heavy play. Yeah,
that was so adorable. That was like an somewhat realistic bonding moment between this one random song.
Did I make you listen to anything as a kid? I don't think
so. Yeah, Yanni. And other such crap.
He didn't love you.
The only thing I think was missing was Cyndi Lauper's Good Enough. But seriously, I think that would have been too on the nose. Especially as they're riding
Goonies, a Goonies sequence?
Yeah.
That would have been too much.
So they did an interview. So the creators are Matt Duffer and Ross Duffer, the Duffer brothers.
They're twins. Identical twins.
Are they?
Yes.
I didn't even know. Apparently they got their start in Wayward Pines.
Very recently. I mean, Wayward Pines only in its second season.
Yeah.
And
they got their start on the first season, which was, a lot of people have said, definitely the much more mysterious and interesting season. And then, but it's a Shyamalan show, so Shyamalan actually was the one who gave them their shot.
Yeah. And they also did, they've done these kind of lesser-known horror thrillers, Hidden and Vessel, which I've never seen any. So,
me neither.
Hidden sounds interesting, though. So they also did an interview with them. Apparently, they pretty much wrote everything. Like, it was getting a second season just so they had, like, they have an entire backstory for the Upside Down.
Yeah, and evidently they wanted to do more creatures. They didn't want it to just be this one monster.
Demogorgon.
Yeah, the Demogorgon. But because of the budget they had and they wanted to focus it, they cut it down. So, yeah, they got a lot of stuff ready to go for another season.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think it's been confirmed by Netflix, but everybody's pretty much
The TCA press conferences were occurring as the show was airing.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix hadn't greenlit season two yet, but it's such a foregone conclusion unless something goes horribly wrong because of how successful it's been.
The other thing I thought was interesting about when they were planning the show originally, it was based off incidents that happened in Montauk, New York.
Yeah.
So the show originally had Winona Ryder's character as this Long Island smoking, hard, grizzled wife or mother.
Well, MK Ultra was a thing. MK Ultra did exist in real life.
What's MK Ultra?
The whole experimentation with LSD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that absolutely
just
is.
Back off. Just back off. You burn it all, honey. You burn it down to the ground and you don't look back. No, Daddy. Daddy, please stay.
Moving it to Indiana, I think, was a move to line it more up with the Spielberg and some of the other references and things.
Well, there was one of those compilation videos on YouTube of, like, interesting facts. And I think they talked about what the reason why they couldn't do it where they originally wanted. It was either budgetary or the town basically just said no.
Yeah.
One of the other things is Netflix actually didn't give it the green light until they said, like, it was rejected by 15 different networks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, shit, man.
I know, which is, this is what makes Netflix and Hulu and some of these other outlets so important, because they will take risks like this on shows that other networks would never touch.
Yeah.
So we're getting some amazing content because of these other outlets. It's great.
Getting Runaways as a TV show on Hulu.
What else you got on there?
There were a couple of interesting fan theories.
Oh, Lord.
That weren't terrible.
Uh-huh.
I kid you not.
All right, let's hear them.
All right, so.
And if you have your own fan theory, you should send it to us. Flame On Show.
Yeah.
On Facebook or Twitter.
As well as your questions and reviews. An interesting fan theory is that when Eleven meets the Demogorgon, it's not really in the Upside Down. It's just kind of huddled in that weird sort of between space where she can find people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know exactly where it originally was.
Well, and that's true, because when they first show her, that place looks nothing like the Upside Down.
Yeah, it's the big empty space.
Exactly.
Yeah. Black and
so
void.
It stands to reason that it could have been from somewhere else, or it was either trying to get to the Upside Down, or it was trying, because it didn't have a problem just jumping over whenever it wanted.
It just needed to actually know that our world existed.
Yeah, key us in. So,
so that's one theory, and I don't know if this is the next one you're getting to, but the other theory I read is that Eleven and the Demogorgon are basically two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
Yeah. So that explains sort of the ending, why they both sort of vanish.
They kind of turn to ash and then poof.
The Demogorgon is essentially her
repressed.
Like, she hasn't been treated. She's been barely treated as like an animal her entire life. So the Demogorgon is essentially her
physical manifestation of physical, her anger.
Yep, a physical manifestation of her anger and her pain.
Just all teeth.
And it took root in the upside down universe and all that.
So. Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't know. I think either one is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either one's true, but I think the ending, the way they...
I say, what the fuck does that mean about young Willie Byers?
Well, that's... So, again, we're spoiling a lot here, so just, we'll spoil the ending.
He had a baby.
Basically, little Will coughs up a slug at one point and has a flash over to the...
Yeah, and he's still... There's still some kind of... Because basically, at the last episode, when they finally find him, it's not Barb level, but the Demogorgon he's has cocooned. Captured him and shoved a tentacle grape down his throat... Which they have to pull this large thing out of, and they think everything's fine because he coughs up everything.
Well, that's what BJ calls a good time.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Except I don't cough up everything.
Oh, that's right.
He's a swallower. Lord. He's a champ.
I'm not a quitter.
And so then they cut to, like, I forget, like, it's Christmas.
Yeah,
and then Willie is staring himself in the mirror, and then he flashes to the upside down, and there's some kind of Demogorgon connection still residing in him.
And he coughs up a slug.
And he coughs up a slug.
And he's the only one that's... survived over there. He survived over there. I think the whole thing, they said the whole series took place over 7 days.
Yeah.
So he spent like 7 days
sucking in all that evil.
In an environment that's not really fit for human beings and survived it. So.
And,
yeah,
and I think that's the one kind of thing that I hope the Duffers can explain is because when they show the upside down, it seems like the only thing that's alive over there is the Demogorgon. Right. There's nothing else over there.
Yeah. Which, yeah, they said they want to explore more. The other thing that is also alluded to, two things. The cop is somehow now working with the secret conspiracy thing.
With the government.
Yep.
And leaving Eggos for 11 in the
Eggos
forest.
Leaving Eggos and food for 11 potentially in like a little box.
Yeah. A little lockbox. It looked like either a lockbox or a trap.
Yeah. Because
it was like some kind of weird steel box.
It could have been either, but I think it was meant as just like a way to share across the void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, these are little breadcrumbs they do or do not have to follow up on as much. But
they did confirm, though, that season two, they're going to have a time jump.
Yes.
Because no matter what, the actors are all at that cusp of, like, again, referencing Lost, the whole reason why Walt was such a...
I sound like this now.
One of them, Toothless, actually did jump the puberty gap, whatever, during the editing, post-production. So they couldn't bring him back to use him for voiceovers.
Oh, yeah.
Because, it was like all it was.
For ADR?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, it was a great show, and even though we've totally spoiled it, if you haven't seen it, I think you'll still enjoy a lot of it.
If you hadn't seen it and you listen to this whole podcast, shame on you.
I know.
It's a Netflix series. At this point, like,
you were warned.
You can watch it in your car.
Not while you're driving.
While you wait for your drug dealer.
Oh, what?
BJ, what is going on with
judgmental about our audience?
What?
Filleting Cthulhu-esque monsters?
I'm not...
Drug deals.
I'm not cool enough to do drug deals. I don't make enough money.
What are you talking about?
If you're blowing Cthulhu, that is way more. That's biting off way more than you can chew.
Oh.
That is like a tentacle dick staring at you as you go down on it.
I would.
It would use teeth on you.
Disgust me on so many levels.
So bizarre. All right. So one thing I do want to mention, and this is related to our Shumagoras. Patreon. You do know about the Patreon. We've talked about it the last couple episodes, and I want to personally thank Rodolfo. Orandando, I think I said that right, and Charlie Tuga, both of which recently have jumped in and joined the Patreon for Nerdy Show and said, hey, I'm doing this for Flame On.
Oh, thank you both.
Oh, hey, guys.
Really appreciate that because not only does that tell us, hey, you're listening, which we always like to know, but it also kind of confirms that what we're doing is worth something to the world out there.
You love us.
In the form of monthly contributions. And that really does mean a lot. And we are going to be trying to get some Patreon-specific content out there. Of course, if you give us a little Patreon thing and you say, hey, Flame On, we'll mention you on the show. And, you know, we'll see about doing something really special in the future.
We're talking about doing a calendar. I think we should really calendar.
All we're going to be doing is shooting oral for 12 months.
Yeah, as I say.
I was going to say.
6 months? Did you say 6 months? It was only 6 months,
six
right?
6 months of oral.
No?
That's too short.
He's quiet.
I was hoping you all would forget.
Oh,
no.
No.
Well,
we'll figure something out. But, like I said before, if you really do want to just reach out and say hi, Flame On Show on Facebook. We love getting little comments on our stuff, direct messages, all that. And Flame On Podcast on Twitter.
long story short, thank you for your support. Flame on.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. You can follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter or Flame On Show on Facebook and Tumblr. Or you might even see some of us on your favorite gay hookup apps. Just keep an eye out. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.